Everyone's watching when you're where I am. Everything's timeless. Yeah, yeah. And I don't wanna be somebody without your body close to me. And if it wasn't you, I wouldn't want anybody close to me. Yeah, yeah. 'Cause I'm an animal, animal, oh, like animals like you. And I don't wanna be somebody without your body.
Chapter 4. Wei Wuxian wakes alone. He feels weird. He breathes evenly through his nose, trying to catalog what all the different sensations are. He's toasty warm on one side, but cold on the other, so he rolls over to warm his other side. In the process, he discovers the giant bruise across his back. That's presumably from getting whacked by an entire lake's worth of water. He hisses, but there isn't the telltale sharp pain that would indicate broken ribs, at least. There's muscle aches from sleeping on the ground. That's normal. There's, oh yeah, the physical signs of being in heat. Morning wood and a damp patch under his ass, and the wet feeling of slick dribbling out between his ass cheeks. That's always fun. He really needs a way to clean his butt plug and get it back in, because otherwise, he's this close to just stuffing it in and popping some cranberry pills later, in the hopes he doesn't catch something. He sits up and something slides against his sensitive cock, taking it from half-mast to fully erect. What? Wei Wuxian looks down at his blanket. He doesn't remember having a white blanket. It's also... oh. The moment he sits upright, the smell of it hits him. Sandalwood and sweat. It's Lan Wangji's. And it's not a fucking blanket, it's his coat. A wave of desire washes him so suddenly that he gasps, inhaling another lungful of that scent. His hands clench convulsively into the white fabric, and he smashes his face into it, breathing in deep breaths of alpha pheromones. It helps with the heat, because it kind of convinces his body that there's an alpha nearby who's going to help out with this fucking heat. But it also really doesn't, because now his body really wants that alpha to be here right now. And, as previously noticed, Wei Wuxian is alone. He throws the coat off him so suddenly, even the change in temperature leaves him shaking. It's... oh, yeah, it's all coming back to him now. It was probably naive to think that Lan Wangji hadn't noticed that he was close to hypothermia. The fire is steady now, and there are larger branches and logs stacked up next to it in a woodpile. How long has he been asleep? There's no way Lan Wangji managed to gather all of this on a broken leg. He might be good, but there just isn't that much wood down here. His suspicions are confirmed when he spots a little covered basket behind his head, previously unnoticed. An airdrop from the public. In the basket is Gatorade and some calorie-dense foods. Holy shit! Lan Wangji got an airdrop to get wood for their fire and stuff to help Wei Wuxian. He's simultaneously grateful and terrified as to what deal Lan Wangji made for it. Contestants can only get airdrops through either money or votes. Wei Wuxian gets one from Popo each year, and then the sex-related ones with sex toys and supplies pretty easily by virtue, of being a giant exhibitionist. But the ones that are actually helpful are far and few between, and this was not a small airdrop. And Lan Wangji didn't even stick around to use it all. Wei Wuxian runs his hands through his hair, tugging at it in frustration. Lan Wangji, you beautiful bastard, he says out loud, knowing that there's a camera drone somewhere out there capturing this. What the fuck? He realizes pretty quickly that even if the coat is riddled with complications on the whole heat and pheromone front, he should probably put it back over himself. He's already wearing a shirt that's not his own, that's covered in Lan Wangji's scent. so the coat can't hurt more. The fire's good, but given how alarmingly quickly he'd faded into unconsciousness earlier, and how out of it he must have been for the last few hours, he's still got to be careful. He pulls it on as an actual coat, tying it around his waist where it falls open. Lanwang Ji is a bit bigger than him. It drapes down his shoulders and cinches in at the waist, which just means that it's comfortably loose, which is one small relief for how sensitive Wei Wuxian's skin is at the moment. He ignores his hard-on, which had been starting to flag and then renewed its interest once he put the coat on. Ugh. He wishes his body would just be consistent in favor of downing half a bottle of Gatorade. Electrolytes. At the very least, he won't let Lan Wangji's work go to waste by passing straight back out again. It takes about 10 minutes of huddling by the fire and eating contemplatively for him to feel much more human again and start thinking of his next move. So, he has options. The first one would be staying put. He's feeling better, he's got supplies, and there's less than 4 days left until the end of the finale. It's a pretty good hidey hole, and he might well win if he just stayed here. But if someone discovers him here, it's a bottleneck and he's trapped. Plus, that defies the spirit of the show. People aren't going to watch his stream if he just camps out in a cave for 3 days. And in the long term, the PR and sponsorships that come in after the show is what's given him financial security. And they depend on him having charisma and a personality. So, no sticking around. There must be a way out of here if Lan Wangji is gone, and it can't involve too much physical exertion if he managed it with a broken leg. Wei Wuxian is still munching on some Swedish energy bar, contemplating it when he hears the shift of movement. Shit, he doesn't have time to put out the fire. He grabs a branch from it instead, holding it in front of himself, making the shadows leap. The smell hits him before the person rounds the corner, and Wei Wuxian yelps, dropping the branch and singeing the hem of the coat. Lan Wangji, he scolds, quickly stamping out the licks of flame and kicking the branch back into the fire. His voice is a little too high, a little too panicked. Maybe he's less okay than he thought he was. You startled me! Wei Wuxian, you're awake. Lan Wangji sounds relieved and hurries forward. He's shirtless now, and one leg of his trousers is bulked up, the shape of the splint showing through the fabric. He's walking with a cane, with his backpack on his back, and Wei Wuxian's backpack on his front. Fuck, Wei Wuxian hadn't even noticed that was missing, and that's usually the first thing he looks for. Why are you standing up? You had pneumonia. You should lie down. Wei Wuxian mouths at him wordlessly. I didn't know who it was. Why do you have my backpack? I'm sorry. I borrowed it for supplies. He sets it down quickly, hands up, keeping his distance. All the right things to do to not scare a spooked Omega. God damn it. Thanks. Sorry for the, fire. Wei Wuxian sits down and gestures that Lan Wangji should do the same. He has the feeling that if he stays standing, so will Lan Wangji, and he's not the one with a broken leg right now. Lan Wangji starts unpacking, and Wei Wuxian can only stare. There's food, wrapped packages of nuts and fruit, which are set into the now spare space in the basket. There's a couple of blankets, and Lan Wangji tuts at the splatter of blood on the side of one and sets it apart. Foraged from other people's supplies, then. There's an assortment of herbs. Wei Wuxian recognizes the ones that help healing and colds, and so on. And, poisons, which Wei Wuxian also recognizes. Also a good choice. Wei Wuxian picks any poisons he sees purely to keep other people from getting to them. Lan Wangji probably isn't intending on using them on him, given he very easily could have done anything he wanted while Wei Wuxian was unconscious. And now that Wei Wuxian has had that thought, he can't help but wonder. It doesn't feel like Lan Wangji did anything to him when he squeezed his ass subtly, and his heat is still going as strong as ever with no sign of being sated. Wei Wuxian is used to having inappropriate boners, he can't really be a contestant on this show multiple years in a row without being okay with it. But suddenly his cock is twitching its interest at the idea of Lan Wangji doing something to him while he was asleep, and wow, that's fucked up. His ass clenches a little as a spurt of slick drips out, and he can feel the heat rising up his face. Holy fucking shit. Is he blushing? Lan Wangji is breathing kind of heavily, which Wei Wuxian can see because his chest is heaving and he's shirtless. Why are you shirtless? Asks Wei Wuxian. That can't be sensible. Yes, Wei Wuxian spends most of his time here wearing skimpy clothes, but Lan Wangji doesn't exactly seem the type to get his tits out. He didn't even go shirtless on the beach during the dating show portion, even if the wet white t-shirt was hardly much more. Lan Wangji blinks. You were cold and dying. Oh yeah. He's probably shirtless because Wei Wuxian is literally wearing his shirt. That's embarrassing. It's the way he's looking at Wei Wuxian, or more accurately, the way he's not looking at Wei Wuxian that finally tips him off. Oh, fuck. Yeah, they've swapped places now. Originally, Lan Wangji was propped up against the back of the cave with his bad leg, and Wei Wuxian was near the tunnel, so that Lan Wangji was upstream of Wei Wuxian's pheromones. And now Wei Wuxian is the one upstream, which means that Lan Wangji has been getting a face full of his pheromones ever since he got back. His control is like steel, huh? If Wei Wuxian didn't feel so guilty about it, he'd say something admiring. He'd got half a whiff of Lan Wangji's scent secondhand from his coat and promptly lost his head for a solid minute. He shuffles around carefully to get another bottle of Gatorade from the basket, putting himself out of direct scent passage at least. He doesn't want to draw attention to it when Lan Wangji obviously hasn't mentioned it. It's so lucky I nearly died from hypothermia, he says. The audience, and me, I'm very much part of the audience here, would never have gotten to see you shirtless otherwise. Lan Wangji looks kind of upset that Wei Wuxian is making a joke at his own expense, which is really sweet. Also, guilt-inducing. Sorry, Lan Wangji. I am really grateful, you know. I don't think I realized how out of it I was until I passed out. Wei Wuxian props his arms on his knees and his chin on his arms, bundling the coat in question around him. There are blankets available now, but he kind of hopes Lan Wangji won't ask for his clothes back. Not least because he can feel that there's a giant slick stain up the back that's steadily growing.
The second time, says Lan Wangji.
What?
You passed out twice,
Lan Wangji reminds him. He'd almost forgotten about that. In hindsight, it was probably very obvious how badly Wei Wuxian was doing, even if he thought he was hiding it well. Ah, yeah, so I did. It's strange how you can think you're thinking clearly when you're on the verge of delusion, says Wei Wuxian, casting his mind back. He couldn't feel his feet, for fuck's sake. Why did he think he was fine? Lan Wangji finishes peeling his mandarin orange and tosses the peel into the fire. It crackles, the smell of orange peel filling the air.
You were unconscious for 3 days, he says eventually,
like he doesn't know whether he needed to say it. What? 3 days? Wei Wuxian gapes. You're shitting me. Lan Wangji looked after him for 3 days. That's insane. And he doesn't even look bothered about it. Just sticking half of his clementine into the side of the basket and then nudging the basket towards Wei Wuxian.
You should drink more. It was hard to make sure you were hydrated in your sleep.
Yeah, says Wei Wuxian weakly. He polishes off the Gatorade. Did anyone come by? Has the bell rung? Or... Wei Wuxian stops, breathes in, and exhales slowly. Sorry, if you don't mind, can you tell me what's happened since I was awake?
Lan Wangji starts peeling a second clementine. Death toll is 4. 2 of them I don't know who, because I can't see the display from in here. You were going cold, even with your heat, and my leg got infected. I negotiated for an airdrop to give us supplies and medicines. He extends his hand to indicate, like Wei Wuxian might not have noticed, the freaking logs. And the audience were generous. We've been discovered 3 times, all within the last 24 hours. The last one just now, before I went outside. I wanted to see how easy the opening was to find, and see how easily we might be able to get in and out. The landslide has been somewhat cleared, I suspect as an intervention by the program.
Probably within the last 24 hours, if that's when people started finding us, says Wei Wuxian.
Lan Wangji nods.
Wei Wuxian assumes, from the blood splatter and the extra blankets, and the way Lan Wangji only doesn't know who 2 of the dead are, that Lan Wangji killed the other 2 unnamed alphas. He feeds the fire another log and runs through his mental list of remaining alphas. He hopes it wasn't Ming Chue for Huaisang's sake, or Lan Xichen for Lan Wangji's sake, or Wen Ning for Wen Qing's sake. It's not the first time he's thought this, but all of a sudden, Wei Wuxian feels too old to be participating in this anymore. He's too attached to people now, made especially difficult this year, because everyone seems to have a family member in the show, too. He's always thought it an advantage that the only person he's had to worry about is himself. I hope your brother's okay, he says.
Lan Wangji inclines his head. He's skilled.
Wei Wuxian doesn't bother to point out that skill isn't everything here. They already both know that.
If you want to move on, you can, says Wei Wuxian. How strange it is for Wei Wuxian to be the one saying that now.
Not that I mean you should leave, but if you were making sure that nothing happened to me, you don't have to worry about that anymore. I'm all set up to fight anyone around here, and you don't have to get caught in the crossfire.
You don't have to kill people for my sake anymore, is what he doesn't say.
Lan Wangji puts another half a clementine into the basket and spins it to face Wei Wuxian.
That's a no, then.
All right, I get the hint. We stick together. They're already in the last 48 hours. From experience, Wei Wuxian has found that the competition becomes a pressure cooker in the last 48 hours. Anyone who's been playing the long game and who had formed temporary alliances is reconsidering their options now. Omegas with the security of being knotted to an alpha are paranoid. Remaining alphas are getting desperate to find an omega. Unknotted omegas are going crazy from their heats. The constant flood of pheromones is emotionally edging everyone and affecting everyone's decision-making. Speaking of which, there is one disadvantage of Wei Wuxian sticking it out with Lan Wangji.
Have you had a chance to take a look around the area? Asks Wei Wuxian.
Way too casual for it to be remotely casual.
Lan Wangji nods. The chamber we're in is one of 3 that branch off from the cavern with the lake in it. I would consider the lake to no longer be a clean source of water after the landslide. There's a small hole at the top of this cavern where the smoke leaves, but it's not big enough for someone to fit through. There's the original entrance we came in through. It was partially blocked off by the landslide, but that has been cleared away. And there's a string of tunnels down one of the caverns we didn't go in, which the other contestants came in through.
Wei Wuxian holds a hand up. Hang on, you climbed the wall of this cavern with a broken leg?
Lan Wangji blinks at him, as if to ask, what, as if it's hard?
Which is fair enough, given Wei Wuxian has seen him scale a sheer cliff using his fingertips.
Okay, never mind that. The other chambers, are they safe? It's hard to get his meaning across without being crass about it, so couching it in euphemisms is the best he can do.
Lan Wangji considers him carefully, like he's not quite getting it.
One is occupied, he says. What does that mean? Oh, wait. Ha, that's hilarious. He's also speaking in euphemisms. Right, that's probably where he put the dead bodies, in that case. Wei Wuxian is getting better at deciphering what Lan Wangji is saying, he thinks. I might go and make use of the third one in that case, says Wei Wuxian. Lan Wangji frowns at him. Wei Wuxian looks back. He doesn't get it. He picks up the empty backpack and repacks his things into it, the bag of sex toys at least, and hefts it onto his back. I'll be back, he says, and flees. Or, well, he tries to anyway. Lan Wangji is between him and the exit, so Lan Wangji manages to intercept him quite easily. If you are uncomfortable being near me, then I will move, he says, and proceeds to take his shirtless ass towards the exit, which, no, is not what Wei Wuxian meant. No, I can't kick you out. Wei Wuxian reaches out to grab him and pull him back, which he does. They fall backwards into a heap, and Wei Wuxian isn't sure who's more surprised, him or Lan Wangji. I forgot you had a bum leg, he admits sheepishly, staring up at the ceiling of the tunnel. Yanking a guy with a broken leg off his feet is the definition of uncool. You got the fire and the blankets and everything sorted. I can't kick you out of here.
You need the fire. You have hypothermia, says Lan Wangji from somewhere on top of him.
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty decent argument on his part.
Wei Wuxian starfishes against the floor. Being horizontal feels really good, actually. He hadn't realized the low-grade dizziness until it went away. It's not, like, a permanent thing. I just need to take care of, you know, some stuff by myself. And then, yeah.
He practically sees the light bulb turn on in Lan Wangji's head as he sits up and picks himself gingerly off of Wei Wuxian. For one thing, the entirety of his neck and his ears are pink. That's fucking adorable.
I see. I didn't mean to. You can do that also in the room with the fire. I'll patrol and make sure there aren't any other alphas nearby.
Lan Wangji limps off briskly before Wei Wuxian can grab him again. Wait! Lan Wangji, wait! Fuck! At least take the cane with you, says Wei Wuxian, crawling back into the cave proper so he can grab the tip of it and toss it towards Lan Wangji. Be careful, he says, heart pounding. This feels awfully close to an alpha protecting his omega, even if Wei Wuxian isn't his omega. It takes a moment for the adrenaline to settle. It takes another moment for Wei Wuxian to realize that it's not adrenaline he's waiting for to settle. It's that he's really fucking horny. Usually during his heats, he's taking the edge off himself with his hands and toys pretty constantly, at least several times a day. He's never been ill and unconscious so long. No wonder his body is gagging for it. Especially if it can sense it's been near an alpha for all that time. Wei Wuxian waits for just long enough that Lan Wangji rounds the end of the tunnel into the cave with the lake, and then flips open Lan Wangji's coat and plunges two fingers into his ass, not even bothering to shuck his underwear. His asshole clenches around his fingers, the slick, thick, and warm. He can barely feel it. Two fingers isn't enough. Three starts off a stretch, but he works three in and out a couple of times and his ass swallows that easily. He grunts, trying to get more friction out of it, but he's too wet. Everything's going in too easily. He could cry with the frustration. He digs through the backpack impatiently with his left hand. The butt plug is dirty. He has just enough presence of mind to remember that. He tosses it onto the floor. The dildo is probably fine. Oh god, he should sterilize it, wash it at least. He feels the heft in his hands, and his hindbrain takes over. A swoop of arousal hits his stomach, and he shoves it into his ass instead. It goes in easily, but at least it's big, wide. He groans as he sinks down on it in relief, and then fucks himself on it furiously. His cock hits his stomach and bounces, leaving little tacky smears of pre-cum against his skin. Going fast is the right idea. He tires way more quickly than he's used to. Damn hypothermia. And soon the ache in his thighs outgrows the pleasure of the fucking. He rolls onto his back instead, kicking uselessly about with his legs to try and get the right angle. He screams in frustration, and then screams again because he hates getting himself to this level of need. All his well-laid plans about keeping himself well-fucked have gone out of the window, right at the point where it's most crucial to have his wits about him. He squirms on the floor, and his face ends up brushing against Lan Wangji's coat. The smell is faded now, covered all over with the smell of Wei Wuxian and heat, but there's still some. He buries his face into it, muffling his next scream. Echoes, he remembers belatedly. They're in a cave and it echoes. He rams the dildo into his ass and misses the angle. It slides out and along the crease of his thigh instead, and he screams in frustration as his ass tries to close around the toy and it's not there. It's too much. It's not enough. If he were by himself at home, he'd just ride this one out, tie himself to the bed and let his body lose control and let his mind wander deliriously for 2 days until his heat breaks. Now, he has until whenever Lan Wangji gets back to sort himself out, which will be, what, 10, 15 minutes? And he can't even manage to get a good angle on his fucking dildo. He just wants an alpha to fucking knot him. The thought crystallizes in his mind so clearly all at once, and on the tail end of it, Lan Wangji appears in his mind's eye, shirtless with those white trousers tented around his cock that Wei Wuxian had tried not to look at. Oh. Wei Wuxian. Wei Wuxian's eyes snap open. That 180p HD picture of Lan Wangji in his mind shatters, only to be replaced by the real thing. The real thing is possibly more than 180p. What do resolutions go up to? 8K? 16K? Whatever it is, it's right in front of Wei Wuxian now. He opens his mouth to ask, "Why are you back so early?" and instead lets out a breathy moan. He can't even manage to be embarrassed about it.
I apologize. I heard the scream. I thought someone had... Excuse me,
says Lan Wangji, looking ready to flee. Except now Wei Wuxian's been thinking about those soft white trousers. So now he looks at them, and he can see that they're tented, just like in his imagination. Except in 16K or whatever the fuck. Don't go, he manages, in a voice that doesn't quite sound like his. Lan Wangji is clutching the entrance to the tunnel in a very tight grip. The stone cracks a little. Fuck. Wei Wuxian wants to get that fist around his cock.
Wei Wuxian.
Fuck me, gasps Wei Wuxian. Please, fuck me. The rest of the stone goes. Lan Wangji doesn't even seem to notice how he's now holding a fistful of rubble. He swallows and Wei Wuxian's eyes flit to his throat like an animal captivated by movement.
If I fuck you, says Lan Wangji slowly.
And even the experience of hearing Lan Wangji say the word fuck is like warm static in Wei Wuxian's brain.
I won't be able to pull out.
Yeah, thinks Wei Wuxian viciously. That's the point. And then he realizes that Lan Wangji is being considerate. He's trying not to knot Wei Wuxian because he knows Wei Wuxian isn't here to get knotted, which is just so considerate. Also, Wei Wuxian is so fucking jealous right now that they are apparently both caught in the throes of manic horniness, and yet Lan Wangji is the one still managing coherent, considered thought. Not me, Wei Wuxian manages through his clenched jaw. He's close enough to see Lan Wangji's eyes widen, his pupils dilate. He says it again, just to be clear. Not me, please! There's a space of about a heartbeat where Wei Wuxian thinks that it's not going to happen, that Lan Wangji is going to about turn and march his virtuous ass outside. And then he lurches forward, almost as if he can't control himself, and then takes a quick march, stride, leap over to Wei Wuxian, hits his knees at the same time as he grabs Wei Wuxian by the ankle, yanking him around so that he's directly facing him and sliding him forward. heat, hot and heavy, bursts in Wei Wuxian's stomach as Lan Wangji lines himself up. He lifts Wei Wuxian's hips almost into his lap, and Wei Wuxian feels the soft brush of the tip of his cock resting on his asshole for just a moment before he thrusts forward. His cock goes in easily. It shouldn't be a surprise, but Wei Wuxian still gasps, his toes curling at the sudden filled sensation. It's been so long. He moans as Lan Wangji pulls out and fucks back in again, picking up the pace as he figures out the angle he wants. Wei Wuxian's legs bob in the air, pressed open wider than he ever stretches himself. Lan Wangji is big, bigger than any toys he's ever had, and he's strong, fucking in with pressure that Wei Wuxian can feel behind his hips. And he's warm. He hadn't realized what a difference it would feel when someone's warm. He pushes all the way in until Wei Wuxian starts to feel uncomfortably full, and then pulls out again, hard and fast. Wei Wuxian can feel the pressure building already, the orgasm coming on way faster than when he has to deal with it himself. Usually when he's doing this on the show, he fakes some groans, bites his lips until they're pretty and pink. He doesn't have the capacity to think about that right now, as all that frustration that's been building over the last few weeks is finally finding a target. His voice is one long, continuous moan, loud and wet as his mouth hangs open, probably really unattractive. Lan Wangji's cock drags over his prostate, already swollen and desperate for relief, and Wei Wuxian can hear the wet slap of flesh against flesh get faster, harder, breaking out of its steady rhythm. Lan Wangji's hands are on his hips, but his fingers stretch all the way around his back, and he leans up over Wei Wuxian, his breath hot and heavy on Wei Wuxian's neck. And Wei Wuxian realizes that he's growling, a low-grade rumbling vibrating through his chest. "What?" Wei Wuxian manages as Lan Wangji's lips ghost over his neck, the place where he would bite if he wanted to bond them. His eyes roll up and flutter closed as Lan Wangji stays there, not biting. He needs it, and he can smell Lan Wangji's desire. Why isn't he? Wei Wuxian. The tiniest sliver of sound makes its way through Wei Wuxian's pleasure-addled brain. Low and pleading? Yeah. Wei Wuxian manages in a half-exhale, finally realizing that he's been waiting. Yeah. He hopes that's enough. He can't find words at the moment. Thankfully, Lan Wangji gets it. He leans forward, another brush of lips, and then a sharp pain bursts across Wei Wuxian's neck, and he cries out, his orgasm cresting as the pain translates itself into pleasure. He arches up, leans into Lan Wangji as Lan Wangji continues to fuck him through his first orgasm. Shh, shh, says Lan Wangji, as Wei Wuxian tries to whimper around his hand. His hand, which is big enough to encase the whole lower half of his face. He leans down until it's hard for Wei Wuxian to even breathe, muffling his involuntary sounds. He knows this. He knows he should be quiet, that there could be other people around. But everything is so much. He needs to let it out. Even the heavy pressure of Lan Wangji's hand across his face adds to it. That heady pressure of being claimed, being owned. Wei Wuxian didn't know he could get even more wet, but he feels a spurt of slick come from himself, smoothing the way for Lan Wangji's cock even more. One of Lan Wangji's hands has found its way up to Wei Wuxian's head, smoothing wispy baby hairs that have plastered themselves to his face out of the way, and then fisting the bulk of his hair in one hand to pin Wei Wuxian down as he bears down on him, his teeth firmly in the meat of Wei Wuxian's neck as he works the bite into the muscle. The rush of dopamine hits all at once, flooding Wei Wuxian's muscles as his body sags with pleasure into the cold, hard ground of the cave. He lies there in a haze of pleasure as Lan Wangji hooks his drooping legs over his biceps, folding Wei Wuxian in half as he carries on, fucking his cock in and out of Wei Wuxian's sensitive hole. He can feel another orgasm building already,
everything oversensitive and more responsive after the first orgasm, his body unwilling to be sated until it's knotted. Most of the time, he stops here. One orgasm to take the edge off, and then he keeps going, keeps moving, so that no alpha will find him in this state, when his body is trying to coast off the high. It's unsatisfying, for sure, but it's better than the alternative. At least, until now. He doesn't know how he's done it before, because he's incoherent now, just lying back and letting everything happen to him as Lan Wangji uses his body and drags the pleasure out of him. Lan Wangji has moved from his bonding bite to greedy mouthfuls of Wei Wuxian's neck as his thrusts get sharper, snappier at the hip, like he's trying to punch the breath out of Wei Wuxian with each thrust as he gets closer to his knot. Wei Wuxian suddenly catches sight of the drone, hovering silently over Lan Wangji's shoulder, and he sees what's going to happen next in his mind's eye with a sudden clarity, a single moment of epiphany before he's clouded again by the overwhelming scent of Lan Wangji in arousal. "Wait," he suddenly gasps as quietly as he can. "No, not," he whispers urgently, even as he can feel the edge of his second orgasm coming. Lan Wangji jerks away, tries to pull up, out, but Wei Wuxian throws both arms around his neck and clings, drags him down, wraps his legs around him and bucks his hips up to encourage him on. "Don't stop," he gasps, aware that it's sending mixed signals, that he'd already asked Lan Wangji to knot him, but the pressure inside his chest is so immense that he can barely breathe, let alone find the words to explain, especially not when he can feel Lan Wangji's stomach muscles bunching up. "No, not," he begs, and then feels Lan Wangji come inside him with one last fuck forward. He feels the come, hot and gushing inside him, and the knot swelling outside, pressed right up against his ass, tight and snug and knot inside him. He gasps in relief, even as his entire body shakes with the betrayal of a ruined orgasm, so close to the peak and then a strange rush of adrenaline with the letdown. He still needs that knot. His body is already shaking with that desperation, is already grinding down on it without thinking, with the need to get it inside him, even as his ass has already clenched tight against it. And then Lan Wangji, staring down at him, eyes wide with despair? No, betrayal. Wei Wuxian tries to force words out through his teeth that are clattering together from his body racking. Tries again before he manages. "Watch out!" He hears the footsteps at the same time that Lan Wangji does, sees his face lift into surprise. The shadow falls over them, and Lan Wangji rears up and pulls him off in one move. Wei Wuxian screams as Lan Wangji's cock pulls free of him with a wet sound, dragging past his too-sensitive asshole as his whole lower body drops to the ground. He can feel Lan Wangji's cum mixed with his slick dribble out of his hole, pooling messily under his ass. He watches, sprawled on the ground, as Lan Wangji surges towards their attacker, his cock still hard and erect in front of him. It's even bigger than he'd imagined. He hadn't seen it earlier, just felt it inside of him. And there's a thick wave of arousal that floods him, even as Lan Wangji hits Wen Xu in the stomach with his shoulder, lifting with his legs and sending him careening backwards. The dagger in his hand goes flying, Wei Wuxian batting it out of the air by the hilt before it slashes anyone by accident. There's something about Lan Wangji in a frenzy. Wei Wuxian thought he'd seen him at the height of emotion when they were fucking, but this is different. There's a bloodlust here that he's never seen before, as Lan Wangji strikes out from his center line against Wen Xu's shoulder joint, numbing the nerves in his arm, a hand flick around his knee that pulls into a hook, sending him off balance, the open palm strike against his throat to suppress his air, the smack of the back of his fist, sending Wen Xu's head into the rock wall. He grabs Wen Xu by the hair and smashes his skull into the rock until his body goes limp. "Enough," gasps Wei Wuxian. Lan Wangji doesn't even seem to hear him. "Lan Wangji, enough!" He doesn't have enough energy to throw himself into this. He's breathing heavily, and his legs aren't even okay with standing yet. And leaning up on his elbows the way he's doing right now is leaving tremors in his arms. This is all he can do. He hefts the dagger. Bad balance, not made for throwing. And throws it at Wenxiu's body, stabbing in somewhere in the back under his ribs. Lan Chan, stop it! He's dead! That catches his attention. Wei Wuxian hasn't used his real name before, of course, because everyone's entitled to their privacy. He uses a stage name for this show, too, and he knows how sometimes the brain will always recognize his real name before his stage name, and he wishes he hadn't had to use it now, in front of the little drone in the corner of his eye. But when Wenxiu's dead, there's nothing to be gained apart from a reputation for overkill. Lan Wangji drops the body onto the floor, where it twitches in that manner of things that no longer control their nervous system, and backs up, breathing heavily. He turns to look over his shoulder at Wei Ying, slowly turning around, and Wei Ying exhales. His cock juts out in front of him, his knot still swollen. The mix of bloodlust and anger and desire makes for a strange shape on his face. His brows drawn down and his jaw muscles tensed. Wei Wuxian waits to see what he'll do.
"Say that again," demands Lan Wangji,
his voice so low Wei Wuxian feels it through his bones. "Lan Chan," says Wei Wuxian, quieter this time. He reaches out one hand. "Lan Chan, forget him. Come here." Lan Wangji walks back to him, surveys him laying on the ground as the shadows mute the expression on his face. He reaches out, slowly, and takes Wei Wuxian's hand, lets Wei Wuxian tug him back to the ground. "Sorry," whispers Wei Wuxian, as he leans up, winds his arms around Lan Wangji's neck, and presses their cheeks together. It's not his fault, he knows that. It's Wenxiu's for lurking there, waiting for the opportune moment to take them out, when presumably Lan Wangji had his knot stuck inside Wei Wuxian and wouldn't be able to defend himself. But the moments before that, the all-too-real rejection in Lan Wangji's eyes when he told him not to knot him, that's his fault. "Sorry," he whispers again. I did want you to knot me." Wei Wuxian sighs. He knows that the alternative was death, or injury at best, but he still feels gutted that the mood has been so thoroughly shattered. He never thought about being knotted on this show. But maybe, in the back of his mind, when he'd imagined being knotted at all, he'd at least envisioned it actually happening to him, instead of being robbed of the moment. His body knows, too. Knows that it was close. He's still leaking slick. His nipples are still hard. And the feel of Lan Wangji's hardness, the swell of his cock resting against Wei Wuxian's legs, is starting to make his mouth water. And if he can tell, then Lan Wangji can probably smell it off him. Lan Wangji stills. He sways forward and holds him like Wei Wuxian might be made of smoke and dreams, fingers like claws curled into Wei Wuxian's side. He rubs his face along Wei Wuxian's neck, where the bite is still fresh and painful, nuzzles his face around it, and mouths at it.
"You want it?"
Yeah, says Wei Wuxian, swallowing as Lan Wangji cants his hips forward, sliding his cock along the soft skin of his inner thigh. It takes him 2 tries to get out the whole word.
"Now?"
asks Lan Wangji, dragging his hands down until they cradle Wei Wuxian's hips, leaning forward until Wei Wuxian lies back and spreads his legs. "Yeah," breathes Wei Wuxian. He has no idea how this is going to work. Lan Wangji's knot is already swollen, and it'll take at least 20 minutes to subside, and then even longer until he's ready to go again. But Lan Wangji kisses him with mouth and teeth and lips and tongue and kneads his ass with those enormous hands of his, and fuck, he could do just this for 30 minutes. That's fine. Except that's not what Lan Wangji has in mind. He adjusts Wei Wuxian's legs to where he wants them, and then sinks his cock into his ass again, stretching him out where he'd started to get tight again. He cries out. He can feel just how big it is this time, like every inch is fighting for space in him until he can feel Lan Wangji's knot hit up against his asshole. He clenches, trying to make himself relax through his heat, but Lan Wangji doesn't let up, going up on his knees so he can pull out and ram in again, picking up where they had left off. Wei Wuxian's body remembers that it had been denied its orgasm and gets on board real fast. Lan Wangji, no. The vehemence of it makes Wei Wuxian breathless. He lowers his mouth to Wei Wuxian's ear until his words trickle in for his ear alone.
Call me Lan Chan.
Lan Chan, says Wei Wuxian obediently. Oh yeah, that feels right. He says it a few more times, trying out the weight of it on his tongue. Lan Chan, Lan Chan. Lan Chan watches him, his mouth slightly parted as he breathes heavily. It's doing something for him as well. He picks up the pace, snapping his hips in until Wei Wuxian is stretched loose again, the slick easing the way. That's when Lan Chan sits up back onto his heels, one leg kicked out at an angle to keep the weight off of it, and Wei Wuxian squirms, desperate for more. Lan Chan leans forward, looming over him, and grabs both his arms, pushing them until his wrists are crossed above his head. He tests his weight, and so does Wei Wuxian, gasping and pulling until they can both tell that Lan Wangji has him pinned down. He pushes up, and Lan Chan leans down on him to stop him from moving. His grip on Wei Wuxian's wrists, just this side of painful. Heat flares in Wei Wuxian's stomach as it pushes a button he didn't know he had. It becomes apparent why he's stopped Wei Wuxian from moving a moment later, when he bears down, the weight of his knot pressing hard against Wei Wuxian's asshole, stretching it out. Lan Chan! Wei Wuxian half gasps, half screams, when he realizes what Lan Chan is going to do. His knot is enormous. He's never going to get it in there. The entire point of it is to be large enough to stop the cock from slipping out after he comes. But Lan Chan leans his weight down on Wei Wuxian, stretching his asshole until it feels like he's going to be split in two. Lan Chan, Lan Chan, oh my god, I can't, don't stop, don't. He doesn't even know what he's saying, just a litany of high-pitched babble. The pain is driving him wild, and he squirms, bucks, writhes to no avail as Lan Wangji keeps him down on the ground. One hand on his wrists and the other on Wei Wuxian's dantian, heavy enough to force the air out from his lungs every so often until he's lightheaded and limp. He can feel his body making way for Lan Chan as he forces himself in, and it's like a pop as they get past the widest part, and all of a sudden Lan Chan's knot is inside Wei Wuxian as his asshole clenches tight around him. Oh my god, he gurgles and presses his legs close, feeling Lan Chan's waist between his thighs, the pressure of his knot against Wei Wuxian's prostate. Lan Chan exhales against his skin and holds him back. Everything feels right. This is what it was meant to feel like. Except Lan Chan doesn't stop there. He rocks against Wei Wuxian and then starts pulling out again. No, 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 moans Wei Wuxian, trying to clench his ass around Lan Chan to stop him. But Lan Chan braces him against the ground, and Wei Wuxian can feel himself stretching wide again. Lan Chan, please, it's too much.
You like it, says Lan Chan.
And Wei Wuxian follows his gaze down between their chests, taking a moment to get it through his addled mind what Lan Chan means. It's his cock, nestled between them, twitching feebly with spurts of cum dribbling out the end. It hurts, whispers Wei Wuxian, as Lan Chan keeps going.
You like it,
Lan Chan says again, mouthing at the bite on his neck, which also hurts. Wei Wuxian can feel tears welling up in his eyes, a physiological reaction to the pain. Lan Chan kisses down his shoulder and peck, and then draws Wei Wuxian's nipple into his mouth. It's so hard that even a suck on it hurts, and Wei Wuxian convulses as his ass stretches enough that Lan Chan pulls free again. He slides a finger around the rim of Wei Wuxian's ass and pulls at it, testing the stretch.
So loose,
he murmurs around Wei Wuxian's nipple as he fucks back in. Wei Wuxian cries, begs, shakes, but to no avail as Lan Chan fucks him over and over, pressing the swell of his knot in and then pulling it back out as he pleases. The pain near constant as Wei Wuxian's body protests. His asshole tries to clench feebly to stop him. Lan Chan ignores it all, instead taking his cock in his free hand, the one not keeping Wei Wuxian's wrists pinned down, strokes along it with the broad side of his thumb, rubbing across his oversensitive slit and smearing the cum as it comes out in spurts. Not enough pressure for Wei Wuxian to come properly, but enough to keep him on the edge. At some point, his tears spill over, hot trails leaking out down his temples, across his face, and his vision goes blurry. He can't see anything properly, aside from Lan Chan's face floating in and out of focus. He can't hear anything. It's like his ears went fuzzy, and everything he can feel is just too much. Somewhere in it all, his heat breaks, satisfied by the knot inside his body and the bite, and with it a release of hormones so strong that it almost feels like nausea. Wei Wuxian has never felt so horny he's wanted to puke before. It keeps going, the overstretching of Wei Wuxian's asshole around Lan Chan's knot, until the knot starts to subside. Or perhaps when Wei Wuxian's asshole is stretched so wide, it doesn't pull around it anymore. And Lan Chan stops with his cock still resting inside Wei Wuxian, wrapping his hand full around Wei Wuxian's cock and finishing him off with 2, 3, 4 pumps of his hand and a twist of his wrist. Wei Wuxian comes so hard he whites out. When he comes to, Lan Chan is lying half on top of him, both a smothering and comforting weight. He moans as he tries to move a leg and discovers that literally everything from his belly button down hurts, an ache of overworked muscles. His wrists, too, he suspects, are going to bloom with blue-black flower-like bruises. His arms are draped loosely over Lan Chan's shoulders now, but he can feel the release of lactic acid build up there, too, making his arms feel like noodles. His asshole is still trying to recover, spasming feebly every so often with little aftershocks. He feels awful. He feels amazing. Lan Chan, he manages, blinking up at the top of the cave with eyelashes still clumpy with tears.
Wei Ying,
says Lan Chan, turning his head so he can speak into his ear and, oh, that's new. It feels right, though, that Lan Chan is Lan Chan and he is Wei Yang. You broke me, he sighs in satisfaction.
You liked it,
says Lan Chan simply, pressing a soft little kiss against his cheekbone. Wei Yang hums in agreement. The afterglow lasts longer than it should. Wei Yang never bothers with afterglow on this program. He simply doesn't have the luxury. But they're almost to the end, and the worst contestant is dealt with, and he's bonded with Lan Chan, and now it really is the two of them against everyone else. There's a lot of groaning involved when they finally get off the ground. Not to do with pleasure, but mostly to do with Wei Ying relearning how to stand. If it involves a lot of clutching of Lan Chan's biceps, well, it's his fault in the first place. He gets upright and then promptly almost slips on the puddle of slick and cum on the ground. Oh my god, says Wei Yang, looking down at it. It's never quite this bad when there's a bed and fabrics involved. But the rock really does absorb nothing and expose how much of it there is. That's so much.
I came twice, says Lan Chan, indicating.
And Wei Ying isn't sure if he can process this kind of filthy language out of him.
And you, 3 times?
Something like that, says Wei Ying faintly. It looks like a very proportionate amount of cum and slick between them now that he's put it like that. He waddles ungainly around the mess. We're gonna have to move on. Between the blood and the bodily fluids, this is a scent trap for anyone else in the area. Lantan nods. It's actually a miracle that their clothes aren't completely wrecked. Wei Ying's thankfully being trapped under his back most of the time, and Lanchan's? Well, because most of it ended up on or in Wei Ying, truth to be told. Lanchan has maybe a single stray streak of cum over him. It's very unfair. Wei Ying is burrowing in his backpack for something to wipe himself down when Lanchan holds something out. A pale blue t-shirt. The one he was wearing, actually. Here, he says, and lets go. Wei Ying manages to take it before it drops. What he really wants to do is shove it back at Lanchan so he can actually wear it. But he's vaguely distracted by the sight of Lanchan shirtless. He's just, very broad. Wei Ying is still gawping when Lanchan puts a hoodie jacket back on, zipping it up most of the way. A shame. But if Wei Ying squints really hard, he can make out the shape of his nipples underneath it.
Wei Ying?
Oh, yeah, sorry, says Wei Ying. I just got sideswiped by a glimpse of your chest, Lanchan. Forgive a man.
Lanchan has the grace to blush a tiny bit as Wei Ying uses the soft t-shirt to wipe himself down. It seems obscene, almost. The t-shirt is very nice and very soft and smells faintly of sweat and Lanchan's musk, and he's just using it to mop slick out of his ass and from the back of his knees.
You missed a bit, says Lanchan, holding his hand out for the t-shirt.
When Wei Ying hands it to him, he rather delicately lifts it to the curve of Wei Ying's butt to daub at the seam between his ass and thigh. It's Wei Ying's turn to blush profusely, although he doesn't know why. It's not like Lanchan hasn't seen every inch of him down there by now.
Thanks, says Wei Ying, adjusting himself so that he's all clothed up again.
There's a few stray sprays here and there, but there's not much he can do about that. And every unknotted omega left has probably been dripping through their clothes for days now.
Keep a hold of it. We can use it as a scent distraction.
Lanchan nods. It takes them only a few moments to gather their things, and then drag Wen Shu into the cavern with the other dead bodies. Wei Ying leans down to retrieve the dagger, dark red blood pooling once he takes it out, and wipes it carefully on Wen Shu's clothing. Any extra weapon will be handy. Lanchan holds the t-shirt by a dry patch and smears their combined scent around the doorway as they leave, limping away to leave false tracks. Wei Ying tries to protest, but his two legs still aren't working enough for him to outpace Lanchan on only one good leg, apparently. Wei Ying is in no shape to scale the steep wall up to the entrance, but they track Wen Xu's fading scent winding out of the caverns in time for a set of blue fireworks to go off. 6 hours left. They must have already missed the 12-hour and 24-hour fireworks already, purple and red, respectively. A lump grows in Wei Ying's throat. Only 6 hours. They can survive this. Wei Ying's back and thigh muscles are killing him, but knowing that's not from an injury means that Wei Ying can just ignore it. The walking and stretching helping to disperse the aches more than anything else.
We should try and find something high and flat, high ground easy to defend, easy for the helicopters to find us.
He's seen more than one contestant die or lose the competition in the time it took to get from their hiding place at the end of the finale to the helicopters that arrived to take them back to the villas.
On top of the caves?
Wei Ying nods. They're not going to be easy climbing, but they're both pretty athletic. And there's two of them to keep an eye out for anything. Wei Ying hadn't realized how stressful it was to be by himself. Always alert, always trying to watch his own back and front and every other direction at the same time. Until now. He and Lanchan make a good team, automatically splitting their roles.
He moves up front, finds steady footholds and a path up that Lan Chan will be able to take. Lan Chan watches their back and climbs up after him, carefully using his arms to counterbalance his weaker foot. They reach a level stretch, not quite big enough to be considered a plateau, when there's a shriek and the sound of movement, and Wei Ying swings his backpack in front of him just in time for a rock to hit him, hard enough that he feels the impact in his chest through the random stuff he has in there. Instinct takes over, and he, in return, flings his backpack at the person in an underhanded swing, hitting them full in the face. Wang Ling Jiao screeches as she stumbles backward, batting the bag away as it thwumps onto the ground, lowering herself into a bent knee stance. "Did you kill him? I know he went in there for you. Did you kill him?" "Yes and don't," says Wei Yang. "There's only 6 hours to go. He spent the last few days sharing a cave with more than one corpse. More death is just unnecessary at this point." She narrows her eyes at him, fists curled around two more rocks. Wei Ying shows her the dagger in his hand, and then also tips his head towards Lan Chan. "Seriously, don't. Yeah, he killed Wen Shu. I know, it sucks. You're gonna lose the finale. But you can lose this year and come back next year and compete, or Lan Chan will kill you if you attack me." She hisses at them. She's probably not sad that Wen Shu is dead. Wen Shu is, notably, a dick. But she'd had a good chance of winning with him, and they've taken that away from her now. Wei Ying puts an arm across Lan Chan's chest. Not that it would actually stop Lan Chan from snapping her delicate little neck if he wanted to, but at least it's there for show. And she circles warily around them and disappears down toward the ground.
"You showed her mercy," says Lan Chan. "I thought you didn't like her."
"I don't. I think she's a fake plastic little gold digger, but that has no effect on me and whether we win this finale. It's not a zero-sum competition." Wei Ying checks around the corner in case any other distressed Omegas are going to attack him, and then puts his hands on his knees to catch his breath for a second. Wen Shu hadn't gotten that. Or, well, he had. He was a smart man by all accounts. He understood perfectly well that once he had knotted an Omega and managed to stay her only Alpha by the end of the finale, he would have been a winner. But there was something in him that drove him to try and kill other people, even when it didn't affect his win. He was just a murderer, using the show as cover. Wei Ying had no interest in that. When he looks back, Lan Chan is looking at him with a curious expression on his face. It's not that different to his normal face, but it's soft around the edges, like everything has relaxed a little. "What?"
"I think that was very admirable of you. She did attack first,"
Lan Chan delivers, with such blinding sincerity that Wei Ying can't look directly at him for a moment. "Oh, well, yeah, thanks," mumbles Wei Ying, hating that he is somehow reverting to an awkward, blushy teenager whenever Lan Chan says something nice to him.
"Do you need painkillers?"
Lan Chan digs out a little packet and some water. Wei Ying stares at it for a long, long moment.
"Wei Ying?"
"In 4 seasons, says Wei Ying, closing his eyes and turning his face towards the sun. "In 4 whole-ass seasons, I never once thought to ask for painkillers. I could have had painkillers all this time. Are you shitting me?"
"I broke a leg," says Lan Chan. "I think the audience thought painkillers would have been useful."
Wei Ying is only embarrassed at himself. He takes the goddamn painkillers. It starts to get dim before they reach the top, but they keep going, carefully and quietly. The setting sun makes everything harder, making them at times walk towards the darkness, with their bodies blocking out the light, or face directly into the sun, squinting past the long rays stretching towards them. Where they finally reach where the ground plateaus on top of the cave, Wei Ying is sweating and he has new aches in different parts of his muscles to add to the aches from earlier. but at least the painkillers have kicked in and taken the sharp edge off. He peeps up, reporting to Lanchan before he breaks cover. It's big and it's pretty open. There's just that rock there for cover. Lanchan turns and throws something into the air, and Wei Ying catches one last whiff of their combined scent in it, the damp t-shirt, before it catches the wind and carries it out and away from them. Perfect. One last distraction.
I moved some rocks on our way up to obstruct the climb up, says Lanchan as they pick the best angle to be able to watch for both someone climbing up and an incoming helicopter. The production setup is on that side of the island.
Lanchan picks out effortlessly across the landscape, and they huddle up together with their backs to the rock. Wei Ying stretches out his limbs with a groan, feeling joints click and his hip flexors release. Beside him, Lanchan is extending his leg while cradling the back of his knee, doing the same thing but more subtly. It took them maybe 90 minutes, perhaps closer to 2 hours, to get all the way up at the speed they climbed, which is nothing when Wei Ying is in peak condition. But he had hypothermia, or possibly pneumonia. He'll have to look up the difference between the two. Of course he needs rest breaks every 10 minutes. He might still have hypothermia or possibly pneumonia, actually. He doesn't know how long it lasts. Plus, it's been days of paranoid, barely sleeping and going out of his mind with heat distraction. And then previously weeks of paranoid behavior watching. He's allowed to be at less than his best. Wei Ying finds himself gravitating towards Lanchan, which feels so natural now. Or perhaps it always did. Either way, it feels like the first time they've been together by themselves, not surrounded by other people or driven by their own overwhelming hormones. They're not really alone. If Wei Ying concentrates, he can hear the faint fwub fwub of the drone propellers keeping it aloft. But it's close enough. He leans his head towards Lanchan's shoulder, and Lanchan shuffles closer to make the angle easier, Wei Ying's head slotting into that gap like it was meant for it. Hey, so, thanks.
What for? Asks Lanchan.
What a stupid question. Everything, says Wei Ying. This entire TV show, it's not exactly your thing. You didn't seem pleased to be here, and I know you weren't looking to actually not with someone, but you've been the utmost gentleman all the way through, even before we, you know, before we discussed bonding. He says the last two words with air quotes, since most of the discussion involved incoherent shouting and not much actual discussion at all. To his surprise, Lanchan laughs, not like out loud, which would probably be too much. But his shoulder moves under Wei Ying's ear as he huffs silently. Lanchan tilts his head back until it gently hits the rock, and when Wei Ying peeks up, his eyes are closed.
I am thankful, too.
Wei Ying sits up so that he can look at Lanchan properly. What has Lanchan got to be thankful for? He's the one who's been doing his alpha utmost to defend Wei Ying and his virtue. What's left of it? Lanchan opens his eyes to look at Wei Ying, and maybe it's because they're bonded, but he looks different, feels different now, even though he doesn't actually look any different, like he's vibrating on a different frequency.
I am thankful that it wasn't a mistake, he says in a low rush. I hadn't come with the intention to bond, but when I met you, and you also weren't interested in bonding, I thought it was ideal, because you wouldn't bond with anyone else. And then, when you asked me to not you, and then, afterwards, but then you did, and you didn't regret it.
He's not making a lot of sense, skipping over whole sentences, but Wei Ying knows what he means. Wei Ying reaches up to brush his thumb lightly over Lan Chan's sharp cheekbones. You're blushing, he says in astonishment. Lanchan catches his wrist.
Wei Ying, he says gently, an admonishment.
Wei Ying laughs himself and twists his hand free. Lanchan lets him. and strokes it along Lan Chan's face, this time cupping his face and leaning in for a kiss. Lan Chan immediately meets him halfway. These are different from their kisses earlier, less like bites and more like an introduction. Without the heat blurring all his senses together, Wei Ying lets himself map out the shape of Lan Chan's mouth, the way his jaw is strong but his lips are soft, the way his breath feels on Wei Ying's cheek, the way he makes tiny little pleased noises in the back of his throat. He pulls away with one last kiss, two, three little pecks, and realizes that the new shape of Lan Chan is what he feels like when he's happy. No regrets, he confirms. And I'm sorry that I let you believe, even for a second, that I was going back on it. Not your fault, says Lan Chan, which Wei Ying knew he was going to say. They both know it wasn't his fault, it was circumstantial, but they've got it out there with their words, not in the heat, of the moment.
It would have been traumatic for you.
At least one contestant each year dies this way, when they've nodded. Sometimes two, if the alpha attacking is just gunning for murdering both of the couple, rather than a strategic takeover of another alpha's position. I mean, also for you, as the one most likely getting stabbed, says Wei Ying. Like, yeah, it would have sucked to have a partner literally die while on top of and inside me, but it very much would have sucked for the one dying, too. They sit there in silence for a little bit after that, basking in each other's presence and just waiting for the end to arrive. Wei Ying hopes that they're being pathetic enough that the drones get bored of following them, but that's probably not going to happen. Lan Chan fishes out the last of their food, a couple of bruised apples, and they eat contemplatively. You know, I never even asked you why you joined this show, says Wei Ying eventually, crunching around the core of his apple. Lan Chan finishes his apple before he answers, eating the whole core like an absolute madman.
I'm good at survival.
Wei Ying just looks at him. Seriously?
Seriously, Lan Chan assures him. I told you previously that I had only seen the finale before. I run part of our family business, which focuses on promoting a sustainable lifestyle in tune with nature and natural resources. A survival show seemed ideal.
He shows Wei Ying his supplies bag as an example, which is one of those stretchy net things. Wei Ying stares. Are you doing a product placement right now?
No,
says Lan Chan, as he shows Wei Ying how big his net can get, but also how it folds away into almost nothing. It's... okay, it's pretty cool. You are ridiculous, says Wei Ying, with a sudden swell of affection. Also, your brother is, like, the absolute worst person for not making sure you knew what you were getting into. Lan Chan hums.
I was quite angry with him, he admits, when the show started, and it was nothing like I had imagined. But I met some very worthwhile people, I like to think.
Yeah, that's absolutely what we're all here for. The everlasting friendships, quips Wei Ying. It's a bit harsh, to be fair. He's made a good bunch of friends over the last few seasons, and he's rooting for Mo Xuanyu, Nia Huaisang, and even Nia Mengchue to survive.
You're also here because you're good at survival, Lan Chan points out.
And, Wei Ying hadn't thought of it that way. I guess this was a career for me. The prize money goes a decent way, and it's got me some very cool gigs afterwards. Fuck, oh yeah, I'm gonna have to think of a new career. No longer a career Omega. Dethroned. Defiled. He sighs tragically.
Wei Ying, says Lan Chan, but it's amused, probably.
Wei Ying presses a finger over Lan Chan's lips. He can just tell that Lan Chan's going to apologize for ruining all that, or something stupidly self-sacrificial, and he doesn't need that. I was never going to let someone knot me for the sake of the prize, but I think I always held up hope that I might find someone right for me here. It's like extreme dating, you know? They say you should see someone at their absolute worst before committing, right? Well, this show is a crucible for seeing people at their worst.
I have seen a lot of terrible behavior,
agrees Lan Chan around Wei Ying's finger, and then attempts to nibble it.
Ugh, it's kind of cute.
You were a paragon of virtue, says Wei Ying, joking, but also really not. I can't believe how classy you were throughout the whole thing.
I don't think my interactions with Su Shi could be considered classy.
Oh, yeah. Maybe apart from that bit. But he was awful first. As much as I don't like his little rat face, I definitely need to see a compilation of his screen time to figure out what on earth was going through his mind. Maybe he was obsessed with you. Not that I blame him.
Lan Chan looks at him with something like confusion. You don't blame him?
Well, yeah. I think everyone should be obsessed with you. I am.
You are?
This time, Lan Chan sounds astonished. I'm literally bonded to you. Yeah.
Wei Ying looks back at him. You, splutters Lan Chan.
And as amusing as it is to see him stumble over his words, Wei Ying also feels guilty for the fact that Lan Chan has apparently not realized that Wei Ying thinks he's great.
You were in heat.
And I told you to fuck me. Okay. What happened was that you knew I wasn't looking to knot with anyone, so you didn't try to knot me, right?
Lan Chan nods. It would have been disrespectful.
But also, I knew you weren't looking to knot with anyone, so I didn't try to knot with you either. It was just, we were both being respectful. Too respectful.
Understanding dawns on Lan Chan's face.
But you were horny for me. I could smell it, Lan Chan, you know. And see your giant cock tenting your sweats. And I was horny for you. Like, dripping out of my ass horny. So, you know, we got there eventually.
Lan Chan's face is still a little pink, probably because Wei Ying is talking about it so openly. I just didn't realize your horniness was directionally aimed, he murmurs.
Oh, he is so precious.
Wei Ying has to pause to kiss him.
Ugh, Lan Chan, you're such a catch. You were always super polite and courteous to all the Omegas. You always gave the challenges a shot, even when you clearly did not even want to be there. You put up with the most embarrassing morning after, where we didn't even fuck in the love shack. And then you took care of me while I was in heat and unconscious for 3 days. And you were a gentleman through it all. I can't believe you did that.
Wei Ying beams with the realization of how happy he is. It would have been disrespectful, says Lan Chan again.
We'll revisit you being disrespectful another time. Off screen, maybe, says Wei Ying, batting his eyelashes at him until he laughs silently. A laugh that only Wei Ying can tell from the heave of his chest, and no one else knows about.
I am sorry to have cost you the prize, says Lan Chan eventually.
Did you even listen to the rules? I mean, I guess not, since I don't think you've thought of the prize even once since joining, but we're gonna win.
I don't need it,
says Lan Chan, which is a delightfully and or awfully privileged thing to say. Wow, good to know I'm marrying into money,
Wei Ying snorts. But we're going to win?
Yeah, as an alpha, you win if you knot an omega and no one else knots them, and you're both still alive at the end.
Lan Chan looks contemplative. Will it count if we didn't do it the usual way?
Wei Ying frowns. It seems like a frivolous question at first, but the more he thinks about it, the more he wonders too.
The program loves to stir up drama. Literal landslides, for example. And if it could disqualify fan favorite Wei Wuxian on a technicality, it probably would. The outrage would make more headlines.
I guess it depends on your definition of nodding, Wei Ying says slowly. You had your knot inside of me, but the act of nodding is generally considered to be when an alpha comes inside of an omega and the knot swells, yeah. Which means that whatever they did, which the memory of it is still enough to make Wei Ying blush if he thinks about it too hard, doesn't count.
Lanchan stands and starts shrugging off his clothes.
What, Lanchan?
Wei Ying looks around, but all he can see are the two discreet little feed drones still following them around.
What are you doing?
If that doesn't count as nodding, we should remedy that, he says, yanking his waistband down quickly enough that his cock flops out and bounces a little.
Wei Ying averts his eyes, and then doesn't, because, well, he's allowed to look now. He's just still getting used to it.
It's fine, says Wei Ying. I don't care if I don't win. We literally just discussed how you don't even need the prize money.
I don't want Wei Ying to lose on a technicality, says Lanchan indignantly, his hand around his cock. You deserve to win. Unless you don't want to.
Wei Ying snaps his mouth shut. I mean, it's not that I don't want to. I just don't want you to have to.
Getting carried away in the moment when there are pheromones rife in the air and he's out of his mind with lust and his body is screaming at him and trying to tear him apart somehow seems fine. But now his heat has broken thanks to Lanchan and they're both in their right minds and he'd quite like for them to have some time together not observed by the world and maybe, like, cuddle and have sex not on the bare ground. He's gonna have bruises all over from Lanchan leaning his substantial weight on him.
Lanchan looks down at him, cock still hefted in his hand, and blinks. He's hard already.
That was very quick.
Oh, that's probably a hint about whether he wants to or not.
Fuck it, says Wei Ying, and flicks his robes out of the way. I mean, more accurately, fuck me.
He rolls onto his hands and knees, hooking one finger into the crotch of his briefs and pulling them to one side. Lanchan drops to his knees. Well, his one good knee, hard enough that Wei Ying winces at the sound of impact against the hard-packed ground. And then he's got one giant palm around Wei Ying's thigh, pushing his legs further apart.
This might hurt,
is all the warning he gives before he presses up against Wei Ying's asshole, which is still very tender from the previous time, all right? And pushes in slowly. Wei Ying clenches his jaw and exhales between his teeth, trying to relax his muscles in time to Lanchan's pushing in.
You're too big, he says.
It's not going in. Lanchan kneels back, perplexed, as Wei Ying pants.
It was fine when you were wet.
He sounds so confused.
Bless him.
He uses his hands to spread Wei Ying's ass, his thumb brushing over Wei Ying's asshole, and Wei Ying shudders.
Okay, so in general, the no foreplay thing does it for me. Don't want you to think it doesn't. Really, really does. We can revisit that at some other time. But you've kind of got to remember you, like, shredded my virginity a couple of hours ago. Like, absolutely demolished it. I'm kind of raw down there.
Lanchan lowers his face and spits into Wei Ying's asshole. Wei Ying's hips jerk in surprise, because that was simultaneously so hot and also so fucking gross.
Oh, fuck.
Store-bought is fine, says Wei Ying faintly.
Pardon?
Asks Lanchan, as he uses his thumb to fuck into Wei Ying's ass, the spit doing a surprising amount as his thumb slips in far enough for him to just press up against Wei Ying's prostate.
Nothing,
says Wei Ying, and shifts his hips as he can feel his body make it over the hill from overstimulated, aching, and tired to all of those, but also kind of horny again.
The light pressure of Lan Chan against his prostate eases things up, and he can still feel the tightness in his muscles, in the line of his thighs. But he can at least feel himself producing slick again.
"Oh, good," he says faintly. "I was worried you'd broken me for a moment there."
Lan Chan slides two fingers in, which already feels like too much, and presses down, stretching Wei Ying's asshole until he groans and pats at Lan Chan's arm.
"You brute," he says, as he spreads his legs some more.
"An animal," he continues, rocking forward so that his chest touches the floor and his back arches flatteringly.
"An absolute beast," he sighs as Lan Chan pushes all the way in, making space inside Wei Ying for his cock.
They stay like that for a moment as Wei Ying breathes through it, the tension releasing a little with each exhale. Lan Chan is watching him, watching his face carefully, and Wei Ying isn't sure what he sees, but he pulls back out slowly, so he can thrust forward with a snap of his hips, and Wei Ying cries out, feeling himself clench at Lan Chan with frantic little pulses of his ass, as Lan Chan picks up the pace. Wei Ying realizes, quickly, that the heat and the slick took away a lot of the physical sensation last time. It was overwhelming because of the pheromones and the release, the relief after weeks of not getting himself off properly. But this time it's like Lan Chan is fighting for every inch inside of him, and Wei Ying can feel it all. He gets wet quickly enough that he can hear the little sounds as it splurts when Lan Chan fucks into him. He can feel it when Lan Chan changes angle, going shallow and fast with his tip just darting in and out of Wei Ying, the cool air brushing against his gaping asshole, and Lan Chan's breathing changes with it. Perhaps some other time they'll be able to take their time, but Wei Ying can't remember how much time they have left before the finale is officially over. Wei Ying reaches down, getting his hand around the bottom half of Lan Chan's cock, tightening his fingers until Lan Chan has to really work to fuck into it. He can feel the slightly thicker swell of muscle where Lan Chan's knot would be and squeezes around it. Lan Chan grunts and bites Wei Ying's shoulder, which is conveniently right there. Wei Ying yelps. Okay, yeah, that really does it for him. They're gonna have to try him fucking Wei Ying when he's completely dry and tight some other time. Just another thing to add to the list of things he wants to do with Lan Chan.
Fucking hell, gasps Wei Ying as he dabs at his shoulder for blood.
None so far. He cranes around to look at Lan Chan. Your stamina is, like, great? So great. Possibly a bit too great right now. Have you ever heard of a quickie? Lan Chan shoots him a dirty look. Or possibly a determined look. They kind of feel like the same thing. He pulls out so quickly, Wei Ying actually wobbles off balance, as Lan Chan grabs him by the ankle and rolls him over onto his back, crowding him up against the rock. That's more like it. Wei Ying lets his legs fall apart as he shuffles up against the rock, stuffing Lan Chan's sustainable, expandable net bag thing behind him. He needs the lumbar support if he's not out of his mind in heat. He hooks his legs around Lan Chan's waist, digging his heels into the small of Lan Chan's back as Lan Chan fucks in again. Lan Chan has practically dragged Wei Ying into his lap, holding his weight on his arms, as Wei Ying bounces on his cock. Oh, this is a good angle. Wei Ying clings to his shoulders and holds on for dear life as Lan Chan goes at it with a single-minded determination, accompanied with his mouth hot on Wei Ying's as he swallows Wei Ying's moans. He can feel that bit at the base of Lan Chan's cock start to swell, and he tries to make himself as tight as possible for Lan Chan squeezing around him. Lan Chan hisses into Wei Ying's mouth and surges forward as his knot comes, and he presses inside Wei Ying just as he feels hot cum inside him and the knot swell to its full size, hard and pressed against his prostate, his hand against Wei Ying's stomach pressing down so he can feel it even more, dragging Wei Ying into orgasm along with him. It's like fireworks going off in his body, like crackle and burst of pleasure all the way down to his fingertips, a burst of warmth that lingers until he opens his eyes.
He doesn't remember shutting them. Behind them, actual fireworks in the sky. "We made it," says Wei Ying, and begins to laugh. It turns into a moan because Lan Chan is still enormous and inside him, and he writhes, which makes Lan Chan buck into him, and Wei Ying gasps.
"Okay, okay. Wow, that's so much, Lan Chan. Go easy on this poor abused Omega."
Lan Chan's arms around his waist tighten as he presses his face into Wei Ying's chest.
"Wei Ying is too much," he murmurs,
and Wei Ying softens, brushing Lan Chan's little flyaway hairs out of his face, as if he needs an excuse to touch him. They shift, slowly, because Wei Ying twitches every time Lan Chan rubs up inside of him too much, until Wei Ying is straddling Lan Chan's lap, curled around him like a koala. Now he's looking back at Lan Chan's face. He gets why face-to-face sped things up for Lan Chan. This much eye contact is going to do him in. He has to break it up with little kisses to the tip of his nose.
"No regrets?" asks Lan Chan.
"No," says Wei Ying, and then squints at him. "Didn't we cover this earlier?"
"You were in heat."
Which is a tactful way to say that the desperation of the heat leads people to say things they don't always mean. "So you were just going to worry about whether we were ever going to do it again until we did it a second time?"
"People who win this show as a couple don't always stay together," says Lan Chan.
"Ugh, that's such a valid point. Wei Ying hates it when people outlogic him. He likes to think that he's a very logical person."
He bounces on Lan Chan's cock in retaliation, the knot pulling at his rim like a plug, which makes the both of them gasp. In hindsight, that was as much punishment for Wei Ying as it was for Lan Chan.
"Well, I'd like to try it," he mumbles, pressing his face into the crook of Lan Chan's neck.
Lan Chan strokes his back, acknowledgement that he heard. There's a flitting sound, too loud to be the drones, which resolves itself into helicopter rotor blades. Wei Ying's head snaps up so quickly he nearly slices himself on Lan Chan's cheekbone.
"No way," he says. "They're here already? Last year we were all still freaking out for 3 hours after the end, hoping we weren't going to get shanked in the time between the fireworks and the helicopters arriving."
The helicopter lands on the plateau near them, strong enough that Wei Ying gathers his robes up as they start to flutter and pulls Lan Chan's hair back for him. The doors open as they wait for them. From Wei Ying's experience, they only stay for a few minutes. The final challenge is getting onto one in time. He starts hopefully. "We could," and then immediately tries to stand, and Lan Chan's knot pulls against his ass enough that he gurgles and has to immediately sit back down on it. Lan Chan's eyes flutter shut as he exhales. Lan Chan had just punched it in and out of him repeatedly last time, like he was fisting Wei Ying, but he's just not stretched open enough this time.
"I'll carry you," says Lan Chan after they both take a breath to recover.
"You have a broken leg,"
Wei Ying says incredulously. Lan Chan blinks.
"I'll carry you slowly."
Wei Ying doesn't even get a chance to protest because Lan Chan is hoisting Wei Ying up with his arms and standing already. Wei Ying makes a wild swipe for their bags, clutching them to his side as Lan Chan stands, takes a moment to brace them, and then walks towards the helicopter, the clack of his cane hard against the rock. This is the most undignified thing Wei Ying has ever done, and he literally got his ass reamed out so hard he squirted twice on national television a few hours ago. The worst bit is that his body thinks that every little shift, every little step that Lan Chan makes is just a way to slide his cock and his knot against Wei Ying's very sensitive insides, so he's a twitching hot mess by the time they reach the helicopter. He has to squeeze his eyes shut and brace his head against Lan Chan's shoulder when Lan Chan makes the extra high step up from the ground into the helicopter itself. It feels like Lan Chan is trying to ram a few extra inches inside Wei Ying.
"Under other circumstances,"
says Lan Chan, his voice like gravel. The back of his neck, where Wei Ying is holding onto, is damp with sweat, and he smells like desire.
Yeah, says Wei Ying, strained. Super sexy. Let's write that down.
He squeezes Lan Chan's shoulders in silent thanks as Lan Chan finally gets them onto a seat. Wei Ying kneeling backwards in his lap, strapping the safety belt around Wei Ying's back. The helicopter doors close, and Lan Chan helps slide a headset over Wei Ying's head.
Congratulations! A super chirpy voice sounds way too close to his ears, and Wei Ying screams a little.
He jerks around to come face to face with a camera person and an interviewer sitting half a step away on the other side of the helicopter.
Fuck, he hadn't even noticed them at all, facing the wrong way and too busy trying not to come another, like, 3 times around Lan Chan's knot. And this is new.
Usually the helicopter ride is an oasis, a moment of silence and safety, as a contestant gathers themselves and lets themselves relax after 2 weeks of paranoia and heat craze. He's always used it as the first uninterrupted nap after the competition. Or maybe it's just the single Omegas that get that treatment. He's never had to take notice of how the coupled-up contestants are treated before. The interviewer lady has carried on talking while Wei Ying gets over his shock. She's already asked something that he's totally missed.
I'm very proud of Wei Wuxian,
says Lan Chan, super professionally, like he's doing an arranged talking head interview instead of literally sitting with his pants down and his cock up someone else's ass. He's even switched back to stage names.
Me too, he says on autopilot, and doesn't miss the amused look that Lan Chan gives him.
He feels the slight squeeze from Lan Chan's hand cupped around his ass as well, and hopes it means what Wei Ying wants it to mean, which is that Wei Ying gets to lie back down and snuggle against Lan Chan's chest, and Lan Chan will handle the interview instead. He listens in. It's odd hearing Lan Chan's voice come in through the headset on a slight delay from the vibrations he can feel through his chest, but Lan Chan somehow manages to keep it completely bland.
I was attracted to him during the first half, but understood that he was a career Omega.
And
I have a lot of respect for his abilities.
And
I'm looking forward to the next stage as we get to know each other better.
That sort of thing.
The helicopter ride is long enough that Wei Ying feels Lan Chan's knot start to go down, the pressure in his ass not as firm. He glances out. There's probably still a little way left. He reaches behind him and undoes the safety belt clasp.
Excuse me, he says.
He slides his feet onto the ground and straightens his legs in one movement, raising his ass up in a 90-degree angle fast enough off Lan Chan's cock that Lan Chan's cum and his slick splatters dribbles out. His gaping, dripping asshole is probably right in the center of the camera shot. Or it should be if the camera person is any good at their job at all.
He shakes his ass like a wet dog, spraying droplets everywhere just in case the interviewer and camera person weren't already covered in it,
and then presses a little kiss against the corner of Lan Chan's mouth and folds himself into the seat next to Lan Chan, sliding his bare, wet ass against the pleather without a care in the world.
That's better, he says cheerfully into the stunned headset silence.
Wei Ying looks over at Lan Chan, his cock now swaying to one side, the half-swelled knot stopping it from flopping over completely, the look of complete amusement in his eyes.
Yeah, he has a good feeling about this. Not just about the mind-blowing sex. He thinks they can actually make this work.
Lan Chan makes to tuck himself back in, but Wei Ying stops him with a hand on his arm.
You're going to ruin your clothes if you don't mop up first.
Lan Chan raises an eyebrow as if he's reading Wei Ying's mind.
Help yourself, he says graciously,
and Wei Ying dives down to get his mouth on Lan Chan's cock.
Oh my God!
The little squeak comes out through the headset from the interviewer before all other noises are suppressed. Out of the corner of his eye, Wei Ying sees her press her hand over her mouth, but he doesn't bother looking at her as he licks Lan Chan clean. Even only half hard, Lan Chan's big, a generous mouthful as Wei Ying slurps louder than necessary. He works his way from the tip down to around his knot, still going down, and finishes up with the little white streak going up from his groin to his abs.
"Thank you,"
says Lan Chan with complete sincerity, and slips the waistband of his tracksuit over his cock. Wei Ying leans up with a pout, and Lan Chan meets him for a kiss. Softer than it should be, considering Wei Ying still has Lan Chan's cum and his own slick in his mouth. He settles against Lan Chan's side, draped across him like a kept omega.
"Sorry, you were saying?" he asks the interviewer.